Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. And today we're going to continue our roundtable discussion on the war on coal and energy issues and how it affects your family. Good afternoon. You're listening to a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance, News in Focus. And we've been talking about this issue for some time with some experts in the field and exactly what is going to happen now that the election results have basically turned the tide on the war on coal. And let's take a listen to this news clip from Fox Business News just earlier this week.
Thinking about the miners all over this country. We're going to put the miners back to work. We're going to put the miners back to work.
Well, that was then candidate President-elect Donald Trump on the campaign trail in May, promising to save the coal industry. Well, let's fast forward to today. Many are wondering if it's just too little too late. Joining me now in the Fox Business exclusive interview, Murray Energy Chairman and CEO Robert Murray. Thanks for joining me. Your expression is the best I've seen in years, if you don't mind me saying.
Well, we're going to be able to hear from Mr. Murray. In fact, the chairman and the chairman, president, and executive officer of Murray Energy is with us today, Mr. Bob Murray, and also Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio 6th District. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. Good to be on your program again.
Well, thank you.
Good to be here, Chris.
Thank you, Congressman. Thank you, Mr. Murray. You know, Mr. Murray, I saw that clip when you were on Fox Business and when they turned to you and the big smile on your face. It said so much. And for those of us who know just what a grind this has been for you personally and those in the coal industry, you've carried the burden of the families of the miners, those in the industry who... This is their way of life. This is basically how they pay the bills in the industry. And, of course, for the rest of us, as far as economic utility costs, we've talked about that for the last year or so on this program. But today is a day of rejoicing. I mean, the election results, we talked just a few months ago going into this election. There was a lot of angst. Of course, if you were listening to most of the major media and pollsters, they showed that Hillary Clinton was going to win and not only win, but win big. They kept that up to the final moments until they were shocked with the news that the AP broke about 2:48 in the morning on Wednesday that Donald J. Trump was the new president-elect. And of course, one of the images that came across the screen was the Empire State Building in New York lit up with his image and congratulating him as the 45th president-elect. And of course, as we heard in that clip, Mr. Trump has promised, we're going to put the coal miners back to work. We're going to put the coal miners back to work. The exact opposite of what Mr. Obama said 8 years ago when he said, we're going to put coal miners out of work. But, you know, he actually did. You know, some of these politicians don't keep their promises. Unfortunately, Mr. Obama, which we've detailed in this program at length, had kept that promise. In fact, he put 411 coal fire units out of business during the Obama years. Talk to us about what has happened during the Obama years, and then we'll talk about what the prospects are going forward.
Barack Obama, Chris, was the greatest destroyer that America's ever had, not only of the lives and livelihoods of coal mining families, but for anyone in America who depends on reliable, low-cost electricity. In fact, he said in 2008, we're going to make electric rates skyrocket, and he has. You know, that couple that has a nest egg that they're depending on to live on. They're now paying 21% of every dollar, or 20 cents, 1 cent out of every dollar out for energy now. That single mother raising a family, she's paying out 22 cents of every dollar.
Mm.
That manufacturer of a product in Ohio is a manufacturing state, is paying out a huge amount And Hillary Clinton had no energy policy. Her policy was to reward the makers of windmills and solar panels who contributed to the Clinton Foundation and to her campaign. Windmills and solar panel electricity cost 26 cents a kilowatt hour. Coal-fired electricity costs 4 cents a kilowatt hour. That 26-cent windmill and solar panel wouldn't even exist if it weren't for a 4-cent a kilowatt hour tax credit.
Right.
So it was all about money. It was all about pay to play. And the manufacturers, the billionaires, including Warren Buffett, who owns the wealthiest man in the country, said, you know, it doesn't make any sense, windmills. He's invested in them through his Mid-America Energy that he owns, an electric utility company. But he said, we make a lot of money on the tax credits. Well, that's coming from the taxpayer. That's coming from that coal miner that got laid off. That's coming from that couple on fixed income that's listening to your program right now.
Yes.
Or that single mother. And it was all upside down. But the working people, this was a victory for the working people of America. They saw through this. And God bless them. And we turned it upside down now.
We did.
It's just not about bringing coal mining families back. It's about giving all hardworking Americans a better life.
Well, that's right. That's exactly right. Congressman Johnson, from your district, of course, which came out very strong for Donald J. Trump all over the southeast portion of our state, the state of Ohio. In fact, Mr. Trump won Ohio by a very big margin, 454,000 votes to his credit over Hillary Clinton. That's a huge jump. In fact, this battleground state is normally a swing of about 144,000 vote swing, but Mr. Trump won it convincingly, and Southeast Ohio, which is really energy country in this state, with obviously coal, oil, and gas, this is what the new economic engine is of your district. They came out big for Mr. Trump. Your thoughts?
Well, they did, Chris, and a lot of the reason why they did was because of exactly what you heard in the news clip just a few minutes ago. Mr. Trump promises to put coal miners and coal companies back to work. Hillary Clinton came through and said that they were going to put coal miners and coal companies out of business.
She did.
And the people did not forget that. When in the primary, 17 of my 18 counties voted for Donald Trump over our very popular governor in Ohio, and in the general election, my district, Mr. Trump carried my district somewhere on the order of about 25 and 30%, some counties higher than others.
Yes,
but you're exactly right. Hardworking Ohioans along the Ohio River that have many tens of thousands of them that have made their livelihoods working in the coal industry, either in harvesting coal or burning coal to produce energy, and then those businesses that benefit from low-cost, affordable energy to run their manufacturing operations. The word got out that Donald Trump was the candidate that stood for coal, and it really paid off.
One of the videos that you put together during this last summer, I thought was very compelling. You were there in front of the Ohio River, and you said this used to be a thriving thoroughfare of barges up and down this river, servicing industry and the coal being transported. And you said it's been quiet, and these communities have been quiet. It's been devastating. And I thought that was a very compelling message, and one in which really resonated with not just that region, but for a lot of people who understand the importance of Ohio's resources and what they've meant over the years, what the coal industry has meant. And Mr. Murray, as you pointed out, very affordable energy for people, for moms and dads who are raising families, for seniors that on a fixed income, for businesses that are trying to reach that, lessen that bottom line so they can produce and actually provide jobs for other Ohioans. All of it is in a big picture, you know, and we look at the candidate, and again, he says, we're going to put the miners back to work, and people say, oh, that's just another candidate talking. What we're seeing in Mr. Trump, he hasn't even been sworn into office, and he's already saving jobs. I mean, over in Indiana, In fact, Mr. Obama mocked the presidential candidate, Donald Trump, says, oh, he's not going to be able to save those courier jobs. And that was an industry there that was going to leave to Mexico. Well, that just turned around. That industry and that company chose to stay in America. This guy gets things done. And when he makes a promise, he seems to be able to keep it. Your thoughts, Mr. Murray?
Well, on the carrier situation, it is owned by a technological firm. And they make Pratt & Whitney jet engines. And I'm sure that the management of Carrier didn't want to keep those jobs in the United States, but Mr. Trump used the leverage because our Navy, our Air Force, uses those Pratt & Whitney engines that United Technologies, which owns Carrier, build. So that's the difference between having a businessman in as president or a political hack that we've had for the last 8 years.
Well said.
So, now, over in coal, you ask about coal.
Yes.
I've asked Mr. Trump, who I talked with last week. He called me. I suggested that he temper his commitments to our coal miners because he can't bring the coal industry back. You said the number earlier, Chris, he has closed Obama 411 coal-fired power plants. Before Obama, 52% of our electricity came from 4 cents a kilowatt-hour coal. Today, it's 30%. If the clean power plan is enacted, it'll go to 18%. It can't be brought back more than what it is now. Once you tear down, close a power plant, and then tear it down, it's gone forever. But we can stabilize it and stop the destruction.
Yes.
And how does Mr. Trump do it? Number one, Mr. Obama's administration has passed 82,000 pages of regulations in the 7 years. They have thousands of people that he's brought into the government to sit there and write regulations to end the jobs for my coal miners and for everyone else in this country. So first thing we got to do is we got to eliminate at least half of these people sitting there writing rules, these bureaucrats in Washington, in the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. We also have to do the same thing with the Department of Interior, which is bloated. We've got to get out of the COP21 agreement and the Paris Agreement. That was a fraud. That's just about getting money, American money, into these foreign countries, and Obama's already given them $500 million, which he has no right to do because he didn't run it by Congress. And we've got to stop the subsidies for windmills and solar panels. We've got so many things that we have to do in this government to get the country turned around. We've got to get an appointee on the U.S. Supreme Court that'll follow the U.S. Constitution and not the politics of the liberals, which is every person that Mr. Obama put on that court is not followed the Constitution, but have voted their political leanings, which are radical.
Well, you bring a great point because 50, I'm reading from one of your speeches that you presented, that 50 bankrupt coal companies in the United States in recent years. This is the kind of problems that we've seen on the war on coal that the Obama administration has waged against the coal industry. And then, of course, you, Mr. Murray, have been fighting in the courts, and then you did get a stay on the Supreme Court. In fact, just 1 week prior to Justice Scalia's passing. And if it had come a week later, you may not have gotten a favorable decision. You did get a stay on that. So it's kind of in a holding. We're talking about the EPA regulations that the Obama administration put forward in their so-called clean power plan. But it really is a war not only on coal, but on energy and on people that really need affordable energy. What is the prognosis going forward? Obviously, we know that Mr. Trump is going to appoint a conservative justice very quickly once he gets in the office. Congressman, how do you see this moving forward, not only in the courts, but also in the congressional side? Because there's some things you could do very quickly. And of course, the president-elect, he can do some executive orders as well that would relieve the situation. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the President-elect Trump has made it very clear that one of his first priorities, maybe even on day one, that he's going to announce his appointment to Justice Scalia's seat. And so that nomination process will begin. You know, we've seen the list of people, and they're all very, very credible, out of the mold of a Justice Scalia. In the meantime, within hours of the election being finalized, discussions had already begun between House leadership, Senate leadership, and the administration's, the new incoming administration's transition team about the things that we were going to work on. I can tell you that I met with Speaker Paul Ryan earlier this week. He fully understands at the top of our list, and it's one of the top things on his list as well, is the stream protection rule. That's one of the most onerous rules that we've got to deal with. It could go publish. It could be published on December 16th, but we've got what's called the Congressional Review Act that we can go after that rule, and that is something that that we will be able to do almost immediately under the new administration and set that rule aside. It is all hands on deck, and I think the President-elect has made it very clear that he's going to support the coal industry, and I don't see him backing off of that.
You know, in your interview on Fox Business News with Charles Payne, Mr. Murray, the question was asked, is it too little too late? And, of course, he was referencing the 411 coal firing units that have been shut down, the EPA rulings that have just stranglehold on the coal industry. Of course, you were very relieved, of course, with the president Trump coming to office, what that's going to mean. You're talking about stabilizing the industry. So some of the positive things that could happen, though, is also exports of coal. You talked about in your interview that China plans on increasing its coal usage by 20%. I was also thinking about the growing economy of India. So it does present opportunities for the coal industry here in America as well. Explain.
Yes, I can. It's projected that electricity use around the world will increase 1.4% per year between now and 2040. That's from the U.S. Energy Information Agency. So that is a growth worldwide. China, who supported the COP21 climate change agreement a week before last, announced it, it's increasing its coal use another 20%. So they obviously weren't sincere about their commitment to COP21, nor was any other country. They just wanted American money, which Mr. Obama has already sent them $500 billion of, or $500 million of. So we have this worldwide growth. Half the homes in India, Chris, do not have a light bulb right now for heat as well as light. Mm. There are 7.4 billion people on this planet right now, 7.4 billion. 1.3 billion of them do not have access to electricity, don't even have electricity. We have an energy poverty problem around this country. We don't have a global warming problem. Global warming is a hoax, as Donald Trump said it was. It was a straw man, a shill for the liberals of this country to try to subsidize windmills and solar panels. I'll give you an example. Elon Musk, that owns Tesla and SolarCity, that man has gotten $5 billion now from the U.S. taxpayer, but he's only made a slight profit in two quarters.
Oh, my.
So there's become a blur in this country between private enterprise and government enterprise, which the Democrats were all about. And we got to get rid of that and get back to job creation. Private enterprise. People ought to be shocked. Everybody that doesn't get power from a windmill or a solar panel right now subsidizes those that do in every state of this country. That's got to be ended. And, of course, the Congress a year ago extended those tax credits. They've got to be ended. And if I can compete, and our coal can compete, with natural gas, with nuclear, as long as there's a level playing field, where the government gets out and does not pick winners and losers, which is what we've had under this government. We got to get back to the private sector doing it. It can do it better. It always has than the government.
Well, there will be emerging markets. And of course, I think Charles even pointed out when he was interviewing you that Japan, of course, is looking to turn away from nuclear in this sense. Obviously, they've had some devastating earthquakes there with tsunami, and they may be looking to start some coal fire plants in Japan. That would be another export market for the coal industry here in America. So it does look bright in that sense going forward. But again, regulation, the EPA regulations still hanging over the head of the industry. The president can do it. The newly elect president can do a lot with that. And of course, Congress. Now, we've seen a lot of these windmills and solar farms actually abandoned. They're subsidized by taxpayers, and then they're not really producing. There's a lot of challenge with that industry, and they can't stand on their own two feet, as it were. The coal industry has been strangled by the Obama administration, but now it is a new day going forward, and we're so thankful for it. And it means a lot for those on fixed income, seniors, the single mom in the inner city, families, because, again, the bottom line of affordable energy going forward. And so this will be part of the solution going forward. You know, we've talked in our past programs about the grid itself being compromised or made vulnerable. And a few winters ago, we had the polar vortex came down. There's a projection for another early polar vortex by mid-December. I don't know if you've seen that. They're talking about the lower 48. Being plunged into a very deep freeze. And of course, here in Ohio, we're going to get hit hard, what they're projecting in about 2 weeks from now. It's coming down from Alaska. I think they're saying Fairbanks is something like 35 below right now. And even with wind chill factor, even much more than that, that's coming this way. Again, what we talked about is that taking these coal fire plants offline has compromised the integrity of the grid, and it has put us in jeopardy. Congressman, what do you see going forward? Has there been discussion in Congress about the vulnerability of the grid because of the Obama policies and how we're going to turn that around?
Absolutely. That's a big topic of discussion here in the House on the Energy and Commerce Committee, Chris. I've actually started the process of putting together a U.S. electric grid working group to focus attention just on that topic alone, much like we have cybersecurity and encryption and those kinds of things. But you're absolutely right, because what we know is that there's basically three sources of energy that can provide the base load to our electric grid. That's nuclear, that's natural gas, and that's coal. And we all know that coal is the cheapest of those three, the cheapest and the most affordable of those three. And so there is that's what we've got to focus on. Wind and solar and alternative green energies cannot provide the base load for our energy grid. And I think that's what you're going to see the new president do immediately is stop the hemorrhaging as it relates to the energy grid, because whoever he selects as his energy secretary is going to get a briefing right away from the House Energy and Commerce Committee about the vulnerabilities to the grid the way that we see it. And this polar vortex scenario that you're talking about, it very well could happen again. And so it's a real concern, and I think you're going to see the new president take that issue on head on.
Well, you know, our good friend who has joined us on a number of these programs, Jim Martin of the 60 Plus Association, wasn't able to join us today due to he was just released from the hospital. And our thoughts and prayers are with Jim. And of course, but I think here in our second part, we're going to have Pat Boone, the national spokesman of the 60 Plus Association, that will be sharing with us in just a few minutes. But we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to News in Focus and a roundtable discussion on the coal industry and energy policy going forward. We did say it was the war on coal, but thankfully that war is coming to an end due to the election of November 8th, and the prospects are looking a lot better going forward, but there's still a lot of challenges ahead. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Mr. Bob Murray on the other side and possibly Pat Boone. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
This is Chris Long with the Ohio Christian Alliance with a State House update. The Pastors Protection Act passed committee. This was the Community and Family Advancement Committee, chaired by State Representative Tim Ginter. The measure passed committee this last Tuesday. Next week is the last session days on the calendar before the end of session. It is important that you call your state representative and urge them to support House Bill 286, the Pastors Protection Act. This is legislation that protects pastors and churches from unwarranted lawsuits concerning homosexual marriage. If you'd like more information, visit our website at ohioca.org. You'll also find a link to your member of the Ohio Legislature. Again, it is imperative that you call today and urge your state representative to support the Pastors Protection Act, House Bill 286, and what we want to see is that it comes up for a floor vote next week. Thank you. Okay, we're back with our roundtable discussion today, and we're talking about the energy policy going forward. Of course, the coal industry and how that is going to be basically relieved that the war on coal, well, if we get things lined up right, we could probably say cessation of hostilities. We've been calling it the war on coal. Mr. Murray, when would you call a time in which the war on coal would be over? Are you willing to state that yet, or you're saying that we need to get some things in tow yet before we can say that the end of hostilities on the war on coal?
The war on coal will be over when the bureaucrats who have been writing rules to end jobs in America at the US EPA are cut in half. The same for the Department of Interior. The Department of Energy needs to be eliminated entirely. It's just a draw on the taxpayer. It serves no function at all, and any important projects there can be moved to other departments. We need to get the Supreme Court back in the hands of people who believe in America and the Constitution. We need to end the 82,000 pages of regulations from the Obama administration. We need to end the subsidies for windmills and solar panels. And by the way, Warren Buffett, the wealthiest man in the country, said the windmills don't make any sense, but we make a lot of money off of the tax credits. Congress needs to reverse what they did last year in extending those credits. That has cost America so many jobs. You know, you're talking about the grid reliability. That is a concern of every utility commission in the United States of America.
Yes.
In Ohio, the largest electric utility was drawing during the polar vortex in 2014, was drawing 8,170 megawatts. Those megawatts of coal-fired generation have been closed by that electric utility. If we get another polar vortex like we did in 14, we're going to have people freezing in the dark. And maybe that's what we need to do, and that's unfortunate, to get the liberals in this country to wake up that you can't run this country on windmills and solar panels, that we need reliable coal-fired generation. Gas is not reliable either. They buy it in a pipe. They size the pipe to that power plant because they don't want to pay for gas they don't use on a take-or-pay basis.
So when the loads come on in the wintertime or in the summertime, the gas can only give a finite amount of gas through. So they need coal laying there to be put into the boiler to meet these daily peaks and seasonal peaks of the plants. We cannot be without coal in this country. The people will freeze in the dark.
That is the great concern, Congressman. You know, we've talked about grid reliability. We've obviously compromised what we haven't, but the Obama administration has been willing to risk the reliability of the grid due to its energy policy, which is basically its EPA regulations strangling the coal industry, the most affordable, reliable resource that the electric grid has had and has delivered to us reliable energy over the years. Those of us here in the Northeast, we can ill afford for there to be a brown or blackout during a polar vortex. And as you mentioned, Congress is aware of the problem, but we're not out of the woods yet. We've won an election, but we're just beginning to, the work is still ahead of us. We've got a lot of heavy lifting to do to fix the problem. Isn't that right?
Absolutely, that's right. We can't take our foot off the pedal, Chris. We've got to continue being diligent about getting the regulatory structure of the federal government under control. I couldn't say it any better than Mr. Murray has said it. Right now, today, federal regulations, including the EPA, the Interior Department, and others, take about $2 trillion a year out of our economy. And that's in the form of a permission slip to do business in America. And it's devastating to industries like the coal industry, both on the production side and on the energy or the electricity generation side. So we absolutely have a lot of work left to do. And we're going to be working with the Trump administration to make sure we do those right things. You know, one of the things that I think we need to do, Chris, is I don't think there are very many laws. First of all, Congress should be passing fewer laws. We need to let the private sector and the free enterprise system that built this great country thrive again. But those laws that are on the books, there aren't many of them that shouldn't sunset, that we shouldn't take a look at down the road, whether it's 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, depending on what it is, like the Clean Water Act, the Clean Air Act. Technology changes, all kinds of things change. I mean, we want clean water, we want clean air, but there's a practical, common sense way of going about this, and you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Mm. You don't destroy your economy in order to achieve those things, because there are devastating consequences.
Well, obviously, the Midwest spoke loudly, and on election night, as we were waiting to see which states would go for Donald J. Trump, when he won Ohio, he won Florida, he still had to have North Carolina, and he had to have either Pennsylvania, he had to have Michigan and Wisconsin. And actually, on our program, Rick Santorum was on a week before the election. He predicted that Pennsylvania would go for Trump. He saw that it was edging that way. But somebody who really weighed in on this, talk about Jim Martin, the 60 Plus Association, is their national spokesman, and that is Pat Boone, and he is with us on the phone. Pat, welcome to the program.
Hey, I am, and I'm still exulting. I am thanking God for absolutely a miracle, and it is that. I mean, it was supernatural. There were so many things working against the presidency of a Donald Trump, including some of the things that he himself said, and I was in communication with him, urging him to just quit calling names and quit doing things that didn't seem presidential. He was already ahead in various polls, so act like he was already a winner. And but you know, he is he's his own man. And I tell you one thing that was guiding me through all of this, and why Jim Martin and I and Bob Murray, God bless Bob Murray, I know came through sacrificially. I know that to be the case. He's a generous man, and he's done well, but he was hurt so badly by the Obama and would have been the Clinton policies. It would have just shut him down.
Yes.
And he was already hurting, and yet He was a hero already supplying the very substances that we need. And I told Bob back then, a couple of earlier conversations like this, that I felt that coal itself is a God thing. We didn't create it. God created it. Now, he didn't do anything foolishly or frivolously. He created coal for the purposes in which we have used it. It had no other great purpose. I mean, there are other ways you can use coal, but the primary reason is for heating.
Yes.
And energy, because it is bottled up energy, and God did that on purpose over hundreds of years, and or maybe thousands of years, and then presented it to us for our use. And so I have always felt that those who are opposing this are really, almost in a biblical way, opposing God, because he gave us that for a reason, for our benefit. And of course, yes, we can learn how to use it in more environmentally perfect ways, and the coal industry has been working on that. But to absolutely try to shut it down was really another attempt to shut America down.
Yes.
And you know, we're supposed to be a nation under God. God created it for our use, and I think we should use it as long as we have it, and then, of course, try to develop other things to replace it. And I'm even involved in that, because I've written 8 articles for WorldNet Daily and Newsmax with, of course, I'm not an expert myself, but with expert scientific tutelage on nuclear fusion, at not fission, but fusion as a plan for the future later in this century, because all of our wealth in fossil fuel will be used up in time. I mean, all that we know, all the reserves we have, we've got to use them while we have them. But eventually, research shows that it will not continue. It takes too long to replace it, thousands of years. But there is a nuclear reactor called the sun, and that's where we get all of our energy. And it is actually operating like a nuclear reactor. It is that, burning helium and other gases, and it supplies all of our energy wherever we get it through whatever form. And if we would develop nuclear fusion in the future, say it might take 10 years, it might take longer, it might take less, to start replacing in a gigantic way our dependence on fossil fuel as it begins to trail out, run out, then America will still stay in the lead for the rest of the world. But so I've been tutored in this by expert scientists who, and now there's another guy named Peter Thiel, one of the Silicon Valley billionaires, and he is switching from his support for fission to fusion. And I don't mean by saying any of this to downplay our support for coal. We have to use coal while we have it, but it is not inexhaustible. And so we use it to its fullest while we have it. Meanwhile, work on something that can take its place when we have finally run out of it.
Well, these battleground states, Pat, and you played a role with Jim Martin, the 60-plus association, the phone calls that went into key districts, key states here in Ohio. We actually received your calls at our house, and I know in Pennsylvania. And, of course, what happened on the election night was the blue wall was broken down because the Republicans hadn't won Pennsylvania since 1984. So when the announcement came for Pennsylvania, I know that you had a hand in that. And, of course, the coal industry in Pennsylvania had a huge role to play in victory for Trump on election night. Your thoughts, Mr. Murray?
This election of Mr. Trump and Vice President-elect Pence was divine intervention. If you study our Bible, you will find out that our Lord Jesus Christ carried out his will through some very imperfect people. There was Peter, there was Paul, some say maybe Titus. There were others. Now, no one said that Donald Trump was perfect. This was divine intervention to save America.
Yes.
That's my opinion, sir.
Amen.
Well, that's right. And, you know, and we're going to be praying for the president-elect going forward every day. We're going to be praying for his administration. Of course, it bodes well with many of the appointments he already made. In fact, having Vice President-elect Mike Pence heading up his transition team. We saw a lot of good announcements. Senator Jeff Sessions from Alabama being announced as the Attorney General. A number of good appointments already coming out in announcement, and people are very encouraged by that, of how that will stack up going forward. There's actually some news today talking about there might be an announcement from Ohio. Congressman Johnson, you know anything about that?
What did you see in the news today, Chris?
It was just a teaser about that there would be some, the Trump administration said it would be good news for Ohio with a forthcoming announcement maybe of a cabinet position. I don't know exactly what they were referring to. They weren't specific on the details.
Well, if there is, it's news to me, Chris. There has been some rumors floating around out there that I'm on someone's list as a potential VA secretary. I did serve 26 and a half years in the Air Force, and I served on the Oversight and Investigation Subcommittee on the VA Committee here in the House for my first 2 years, where many of the problems that have been brought to the surface with the VA were discovered during my investigations and hearings. But no one no one from the Trump transition team has contacted me, Chris, about that job. But I did tell Vice President-elect Pence that is the one area that I would certainly be willing to have a conversation about. But it would have to come with an ironclad guarantee that we're really going to transform that agency. It's the largest agency in Washington, D.C., with the largest budget. And they're spending money like water running through a sieve. But our veterans are not being taken care of, and so there's a lot that needs to be done to it. So, search me. No, my phone has not rung. So we'll see what that announcement is all about. But if it comes my way, I'll be certain to let you folks know.
Well, and you did.
Matt Boone says amen, and you're exactly the right kind of guy for that job.
Well, I'm going to try to block it because I want to keep him as my congressman.
right now my focus is on helping Bob Murray in the coal industry and doing what we need to do there. And we've got the fox on the run, Mr. Murray. I had a great meeting with OMB this week, and believe it or not, I think we have some friends over in OMB. I shared with them the very troubling track record of the Interior Department in this rulemaking under the Stream Protection Rule, and they shared my concerns, validated my concerns in some of the conversations that they had with the states, and some of the conversation that we had I'll have to keep private for now, but it was very, very timely, and they were going to be taking information back to the administration because we're sitting here anxious, as you are, holding our breath for December 16th to see if they're going to publish that rule. But if they do, it is a top target for the Congressional Review Act right away.
I appreciate that, Congressman Bill. Both Vice President-elect Pence and President-elect Trump have called me. And we've had long conversations, and I've had much correspondence with him since the election. And he asked me to tell people of these conversations, and particularly our employees, to tell them that he has their back, and he will follow through on what he said on the campaign trail. The man has a mandate. He has the passion. He has the courage. Hopefully, we will see a follow-through here. Interestingly enough, Chris, there are 55,000 Republicans that have come out of the woodwork that did not stand up for Mr. Trump, like Mr. Boone, Congressman Johnson, and myself, that now want jobs down there. So I said to him, do not let these people water down your commitments on the campaign trail.
Right.
He said, I won't. You tell every one of your employees I have their back.
I think he means it, guys. I really do.
I do as well, Pat. I think that Mr. Trump is showing himself to be a man of his word. He is following through on his commitments, and he is chomping at the bit to get to the inauguration, sworn into office, and to get pen in hand with executive order, quite honestly, on day one, to undo a lot of the damage of Mr. Obama and his administration, and then to get busy with Congress to move things forward. And so it's a very exciting time, one in which we encourage our listeners to pray, to intercede for our new president, his administration. And, of course, there'll be so many exciting things that we can see happen here. You know, in Ohio itself, of course, you know, Mr. Murray, of course, you represent the energy industry, the coal industry, which represents jobs and families and those who work in the state. Ohio actually... The receipts at the State House Treasury have been down over the last 6 months, and we are actually in a recession they're about to announce here, unfortunately, here in Ohio. So all this will bode well going forward. The good news, the stock market is responding favorably to Mr. Trump. Of course, the energy industry, the prospects look good. But again, as we said, there's a lot of work to do, a lot of undoing of these EPA regulations, again, which the courts... were not certain of themselves. They were saying this was an overreach by the Obama administration. Your thoughts, Mr. Murray?
The first place he has to start is with the Judiciary Department. There are thousands of lawyers that Obama's hired who have illegally supported the executive orders of the Obama administration that were never approved by the U.S. House of Representatives, the U.S. Senate. And the first place he's got to start is get the criminals, and they are criminals, because they have supported his illegal actions by house cleaning the Department of Justice. And that has to be on the priority list with the other six or eight things I've already said he needs to do day one, and or as soon as he can.
Well, that's encouraging. And, of course, Mr. Congressman Johnson, you're ready to work in Congress. And I've stopped by your office 2 weeks ago. Your staff is really on top of it. They are ready to work and to do what is needed to be done in Congress. Do you sense that from the other members in Congress that obviously, as the Republicans now will control in the new Congress, the House, the Senate, and the executive branch? What can we expect early on?
Well, absolutely. I haven't seen this kind of energy and excitement since I arrived here in January of 2011. As I mentioned earlier, within hours of the election being finalized, discussions and strategic planning sessions were already underway between the incoming administration, the House Speaker, and the majority leader over in the Senate. We have had numerous meetings with the Trump transition team. As you well know, there have been several members of the House, Republicans, that have been tapped for senior cabinet positions. One of the most devastating pieces of legislation passed under President Obama was the Affordable Care Act. Dr. Tom Price from Georgia has been tapped as the HHS secretary. He's going to deal with that, and it's going to be in a very good way. So, absolutely, there's an all hands on deck. And in fact, when Vice President Pence came over to talk to us the week before Thanksgiving, he sent us a very clear message. He said, "Get your work boots on and get ready, and plan not to have much free time next year, because we are going to be busy. We're going to ask you to pass us legislation so that we can do the things to make America great again. And you can better believe that the members of the Republican House are on the job, and we're ready to go do exactly that."
I think the reality of just how exciting this all is to people when they saw the election returns, first of all, that they were told weeks leading up to the election that it was Hillary Clinton's, that she was going to win. How big was she going to win? How long was her coattails? How many senators would she bring in with her? How many would the Democrats be able to take back the House? I mean, we laugh at that now, but they literally, every single news agency was just pounding away at that.
Yeah.
But the folks out there, they thought otherwise. And, you know, a lot of people, the pollsters themselves are scratching their heads because they've all become irrelevant, Mr. Murray, because they were so totally wrong in their prediction. And it was that the folks understood what needed to happen and change a direction for this country.
Can I add a parenthesis, Chris, to what you just said there about Bob Murray? Because you're not going to get this from him. But I knew in the last weeks when Jim Martin and I talked to him that he had extended himself already beyond what was realistic. But when Jim told him what we could do in that last week if we got the right funding, he contributed very significantly to the funding that enabled me to do 250,000 robocalls for Burr in North Carolina, 150,000 for a man named Johnson in Wisconsin, 750,000 calls for Pat Toomey in Pennsylvania, 75,000 calls for Todd Young, Indiana, 250,000 for Rubio in Florida, 150,000 for Blunt in Missouri, and in Arizona, 125,000 robocalls for McCain.
Wow.
And all of them, of course, were tagged on to Trump and the platform, not just Trump, but the Republican platform. And we believe that these, in those tight states, and those very narrow victories, that Bob Murray ought to get some kind of a medal, because he was
absolutely.
We could not have done it without him.
Well, we go ahead, Mr.
Not
Murray.
Me. I don't deserve any credit. This was the Lord's will.
Well,
it's you, Pat Boone. It's Jim Martin of the 60-plus association that initiated that effort.
Well, we've run out of time, gentlemen. We're going to have to cut it off there. Thank you. God bless you for joining us. And this has been a great opportunity. Thank you all.
Your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.